This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
The thoughts of the Hide and Seek team are with the members of our diverse rainbow communities in Orlando and throughout the United States. Hide and Seek is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And while we can stand here out loud and proud, we will always acknowledge that not everyone is ready to stand in the same place. That's why we are here, to uplift, inform and empower, and when we can, be ready to welcome new members to our rainbow communities whenever they are ready. Now it's time for Hide and Seek.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
This is a trap to our existence!
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Get ready for the ride.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here. A big thank you to those chicks talking footy here on Joy. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mr. Tim.
Good evening.
And also our newest Hide and Seek member, Ben. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you all doing?
We are wearing clothes this week.
Fully clothed edition.
Although sadly, I have no underwear on, just saying.
So, if you want to become a member, it is not too late. You can still go into the draw to win a car and Tim will take off his pants.
Just for something different.
Joy.org.au is where you can sign up online or, that's the best way to do it.
Yes.
Of course, it was Radiothon last week. We were taking off our clothes as memberships came in. Big thank you to everyone who joined up during Hide and Seek and across the week.
Thank you for your encouragement.
Now, coming up a little bit, very shortly, fresh from his exploits at IML in Chicago will be Daddy Steve. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. If you want to get in touch and join in the program, of course, this is how you do it.
Share your thoughts. Email on air at joy.org.au. Have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949. And connect with your community.
Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here, along with Tim.
Hello.
And Ben.
Hello.
And Tim and Ben live, well not live, well live in the studio. Live in the studio. And he's alive after his exploits in Chicago is Daddy Steve, welcome back to Melbourne.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Not a problem.
And how has this competition changed your life?
That's the overreaching question. It's probably a little bit too soon to assimilate everything that went on over in Chicago. International Mr. Leather is an enormous event that has been going for since 1989. So I was in the 38th class, and there was 59 guys from around the world. It is very North American focused, so we had seven non-North American contestants from Ireland, Canada, Germany, Austria, and we had, for the first time in many years, three from Australia.
Wow. Awesome. And did it meet your expectations, exceed them?
It blew everything away.
Yeah, right.
It really, I tried to get a sense of what the experience would be like by speaking to some of the other guys that I've from Melbourne and other parts of Australia that have been and gone through the process. And they were all a little cagey as to try and tell me exactly what it'd be like, because partly because everybody's experience is going to be very different from year to year, but also because describing what you go through and the highs and lows and the tears, which I'll get into a little bit of that in more detail shortly, just you trying to describe it without going through it doesn't do it justice, particularly if you're about to embark on that journey.
Sure.
Daddy Steve, before we sort of get into your experience and what you've just been through over in Chicago, can you tell us a little bit about the competition itself and what it entails? If you're a bit like me and you're a little bit of a curious little Goldilocks and you're not so well up to the leather scene itself, how do you win the competition?
Okay, the competition is broken up into a pre-judging and then a final. So the pre-judging consists of an interview, mm-hmm. and this year there was a panel of 9 judges. So the interview is very brief. It goes for 9 minutes. They've got 59 people to interview throughout the weekend, and so the judges are all in there for each of those interviews. You get asked a range of questions that might deal with your community involvement. How have you endeavoured to make the community what you want? What things have you done to engage different aspects of the community? But I got asked some really fun questions as well. I was fortunate where I was asked a question from each of the judges. Some people, whether they were too verbose in their answers or whatever, I only got a few questions through a few of the judges.
Right.
But one of the funniest questions I got asked was from the Irish judge was, where does the filthiest sex happen at the Laird?
Ah. And what was your answer to that?
Everywhere, depending on the night. But some of the questions are designed to gauge your response to a challenging situation. Mm-hmm. Some of them are getting you to think on your feet, but it's really a way for the judges to get to know the person, so the contestant. The role of IML is effectively an ambassador for IML. So the responsibilities, while there's no set legal contract of responsibilities for you, other than going to judge the following year, there's expectations that you'll be at certain events. The schedule from Tigger, who won from my class, is just, it made me dizzy.
Right.
You know, he's effectively got a half dozen free weekends to himself for the next 12 months.
Right.
Which is, coming from Australia, would be a bit of a challenge to try and fulfill the expectations that they have. So, and that can involve anything from judging contests to appearing in pride parades to judging contests. So there's a lot of those sort of things that's an expectation, as well as any title holder gets to bring to the title what they want. So if they've got any particular goals or activities that they wanted to achieve, they have to find a time to work those into their schedule. So that's the interview and part of what is expected from the IML. Makes up 60% of your preliminary score, and then the other 40% comes from which is actually the second night of the contest, is the pecs and personality segment.
Now so, we're getting talking.
So you have to wish for world peace, and you have to be a hot piece of man
and fisting for all.
Okay, yeah.
The pecs and personality contest was one of the things I was probably dreading the most, because you're on stage, you're dressed in, I was in a jockstrap and a harness. And
I'm sure you'd feel very comfortable.
I am very comfortable in a jockstrap and harnesses, but it's very different being on stage in front of 3,000 or 4,000 people. Yeah. And what was a bit sort of nerve-wracking about that is that question can come from anywhere of the information that you put in your application. Now, some of the other contestants tried to play the system a bit by not putting very much information in the application. I used up every one of my character limits in each section, so they had a lot of material to work from. So I wasn't too sure where it was going to come from, and sometimes the questions are related back to the judges. Sometimes, and in my case, it was related back to the one of my fellow contestants. But they do draw it on. So you're going through all these different scenarios in your head, and you're not sitting down, you know, casually lounging in the lounge room while you're waiting for this. You're literally queued up backstage, and for not just 5 minutes. That night goes for about 2.5 hours, and it's very entertaining for the crowd. And the whole idea is that you are there to entertain the crowd, and that gives also the judges a way to see how you will be on stage.
Of course. And is it a big crowd? How many people are we talking?
That was held at one the smaller theatre. I don't know. Maybe it was 1,500, 2,000 for that one.
Right.
I'm not sure on the figures. It might be a little bit less, but, you know, it felt like a bloody big crowd when you're on stage. And not that you can see too much because you got the lights in front of you and you're pretty much blinded.
Yeah.
I got a question which I quite enjoyed. It was... choose one or two of your fellow contestants and tell us what you would do to exercise them as a human pup.
Oh, I'm sure you would have had plenty of ideas there, Steve.
I did have a few ideas. My response...
What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, my response included that I prefer my pups a little bit more mischievous rather than well-behaved. That's why I consider myself more of a daddy than a sir, because I'm not that good with discipline. And I chose a contestant, Todd Harris, who came runner-up because he's furry. He doesn't identify as a pup, but he is a really good sport, and talked about parading him around on a leash in front of on the stage so everyone could manage to see every angle of him.
And did you get to demonstrate that to the crowd?
Unfortunately not, but Todd did promise that next time I see him that he'll make sure he's got a leash with him.
And what was kind of happening backstage?
Well, the backstage was where the funnest bits of the weekend happened.
Right.
Without any doubt, the most memorable moments that I experienced weren't the, you know, 5-10 minutes that you're on stage. It was in the background. And they have the most amazing group of people that act as handlers. So the handlers are there when you're having crisis of confidence, when your shirt might need to be tucked in a little bit away. They are there to make sure you look your best on stage.
Yep.
And there was about 18 of them in total. And they were there, like, Chicago was hot and really hot for wearing full high cow leather. So, you know, the handlers were coming down with foil trays and fanning everyone, passing water around. They had napkins to mop up sweat. Anything that you wanted, there was a handler there. And you really bonded with them over the period of the 4 days of the competition. So, backstage, you know, we're getting changed, and in the first two nights the dressing rooms were rather cozy. They had two dressing rooms. One of them probably wasn't much bigger than this studio. So if you've anyone's been in the studio, you know it's going to be tight. And you throw 30 guys in there and with their gear and getting changed, and you
very
really do
sexy.
Get to know you know, your fellow contestants quite intimately.
I bet. So there was a back room behind the back room?
The back room was the dressing room. not that anyone was in a headspace for anything to of a sexual nature to happen, because, you know, nerves really do eat up on you. But the camaraderie amongst the contestants was incredible. We're one of the luckier groups, because, you know, going back 5 years ago, they didn't have Facebook to communicate beforehand. So when you got there, if you weren't on the title circuit and have been going to a lot of events in the US, then you didn't know your fellow contestants. And coming from Australia, it's really difficult to do that. But we had the advantage of not only having a Facebook group where a lot of important information could be pushed out, and so you knew that you got you had a lot of information beforehand. We also had WhatsApp, and WhatsApp was a less formal moderated forum in many, many ways. I think I'd seen nearly every one of the contestants naked before I even got there.
Of course.
But it was also a way that we could get to know each other and develop some friendships, even if it is through a text-based medium.
Awesome.
Prior to the contest, and that was really, really helpful. You know, it's a little bit intimidating, and I felt it on the first day wandering into orientation. There's 59 guys that competing with rather than against. And I don't really know any of these. I'd met a handful of them once or twice beforehand. I knew the guys from Sydney and guys from Brisbane, and then all the associated production staff. And it's very, very intimidating. But they did a great job in making that all sort of happen. The orientation was a really special process. But just getting back to your point there. So the PECS and personality and the judging makes up the preliminary judging. So each contestant gets a score out of 1,000 from that, and out of 700. So each judge gives each contestant a score out of 100. They drop the highest and the lowest on the Olympic scoring system, and you end up with a score of 700, and that creates the top 20 finalists.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We're chatting with Daddy Steve, fresh from IML. You know, bit of a spoiler alert, he made the top 20, and we're going to find out more about that very shortly. And Ben, I'm expecting you to ask the deep, deep, deep questions about what happened when the IML competition all wrapped up in Chicago.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it on
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Something for everybody.
You are on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice, Tim and Ben are with you this evening. We're chatting with Daddy Steve, fresh from IML in Chicago.
And you were talking to us about PECS and personality. What happens after that?
So once the PECS and personality night has happened, the telemasters go back and they determine, in conjunction with the interview scores, who made the top 20.
Right.
And so the top 20 is announced in the on the Sunday night, and that's in a much larger theatre. So it was, if you imagine 69 guys crammed into a tiny, tiny little dressing room, suddenly we've got space and air conditioning and a whole lot of, a much, much nicer venue. Everyone gets caught up on stage, and then they start counting off the top 20, which I think...
Nerve-wracking.
Was pretty nerve-wracking. I was fortunate. I was the first one called.
Wow.
So I didn't have that weight of am I in, am I not? So I feel sorry for some of the guys. Like Tim from Sydney, he was the second last one called. Oh. And he said he just had given up. He didn't think it was going to happen. Both Tim and myself from Australia made it into the top 20, which is the first time in a long time that has happened. From there, in the contest, you then have another physique round. Then they're judged on your leather image. And so your leather image is a visual of how you carry off leather. Because I have my pilot's license, and I did a whole leather pilot look.
I was going to ask that question. Are you standing in front of your wardrobe doing, do I wear this black leather harness or do I wear this black leather harness? How elaborate is the costumes from the contestants?
For that, it's fairly formal leather.
Yep.
So there is a sort of a high cow aspect of it. And it varied from, you know, so everyone had sort of different colours or different styles. A lot of it was custom leather, and it was, and you're literally asked to stand, turn a quarter turn to the right,
right.
Turn a quarter turn to the right, and turn another quarter turn to the right while the judges are getting a good idea of what happens. After that, it's you split into two groups. Half the group, half the top 20 are going to present their 90-second speeches, which is a pretty tough call for a speech. And then the other half are going to do another physique round. And I did the sort of traditional Aussie thing, came out with an Akubra hat, which ended up somewhere in the audience, which went down a bit of a treat. And then... and then the speeches, and then they announced the winners from there. So, and I came number 9 out of 20. Excellent. Which I'd went there with a goal to at least make the final so I could deliver my speech. And so to make it within the top 10, I'm pretty happy.
And the type of speech you were expecting to present, was that similar to what you did at Lead Leatherman?
Lead Leatherman, there is no speech. It's more of a sort of a talent or a fantasy round. So whereas the speeches at IML are generally pretty serious. I think the guys I spoke to said I was the only one that made people laugh, which when I walked on stage and told them about my mother putting me in a red harness at the age of 2 and put me on a leash, and it's no wonder that I'm standing here now. So that got a bit of a giggle from the crowd. And but it was, you know, I spoke about the importance of community and getting involved rather than sitting on the sidelines, and create the community that you want.
And did your handmade harness get a good go?
Yes, I managed to wear the very first piece of leather that I ever made at about the age of 20. So sat there, I got into the final, and I wore it as for the final physique. I wore that harness with a pair of short chaps and boots. So yeah, I was pretty pleased with that. So that was that made me happy that it got to get a run on stage after all these years.
Did you get to tell that story as well?
Not to the judging panel, but I did get to speak to a few of the other people, and they thought it was a great story.
Coming up shortly, a little bit more from Daddy Steve, in particular about all the parties that happened at IML in Chicago here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, Andrew, Tim and Ben, chatting with Daddy Steve about IML. Ben,
Daddy Steve. So we've just been talking about the event, but really, I think it's about time we talked about the after parties, the gossip, the behind the scenes. Give the deviants what they want.
Okay. It wasn't always after parties. It was during, before and anytime parties.
Oh, how filthy was it?
As a contestant, I didn't get to see very much this year because we were on call, but I did get to learn, live vicariously through friends that were there. The host hotel is the hub, and anything happens there as well, all through the day, through the night. You see guys in fantastic gear, guys in nothing. You know, it's all happening around the hotel. There's a number of sort of off... unofficial events that happen at the hotel, which may be arranged through certain sites that I'm not going to advertise here at the moment, but a lot of that's all happening at the hotel. If you can imagine, you've got over the weekend they get something in the vicinity of 20,000 people there for IML. So
wow.
That's going to and you know, about a third go along to the contest, but the main parties are the victory ball and the black and the victory party and the black and blue ball. So they're held after the events on the Sunday night, and then the independent on the Monday night is the black and blue ball. They're pretty full on parties. The victory party is held in one of the most stunning venues I think I've seen in a long time. It's like an old gorgeous old Gothic theatre, 3 levels. Wall to wall, smoking hot guys, sweating and just getting down dirty pretty much anywhere. That's the victory party. On the Monday night is the black and blue ball. Black and blue ball is on a slightly smaller scale than the victory party, and but it is a lot filthier. Think of trough on steroids.
Right.
Wow, okay.
And you're probably getting somewhere close to
and when
approximating.
Does this happen again next year?
Chicago next year, Memorial Day weekend, the last weekend in May. So that's pretty full on times, and it was a great thing to see, and particularly it was a great way to let my hairs down after you know, 4 days of being tied up with the competition.
Definitely to debrief.
To debrief.
Literally.
To let off some steam.
I can smell the leather cleaner just thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I suppose everyone would be in their leather finest, right? There'd be some pretty cool outfits.
Pretty cool outfits. Leather finest throughout the whole weekend. And, you know, one of the things that I'm most attracted to, and you, those that know me, is the more formal leather look. It's why I think Berlin Folsom is probably one of the best events, leather events around the world, because it does have such a focus on that.
Yeah.
And you do see a lot of that in Chicago, as well as guys that are just getting into the leather scene and might have a harness, and you know, but those guys 10 years down the track might develop a taste for it, learn that they're interested in the community, and then get more involved into the full leather formal look.
Daddy Steve, sorry, real quickly, the formal leather look. Give us a run through real quick.
Okay, usually looking at it, it's predominantly based on a sort of a motorcycle cop look.
Uh-huh.
So you're looking at a short sleeve leather shirt, mm-hmm. Often with a tie, a Sam Brown, mm-hmm. Which is a over the shoulder belt, and sort of patrol boots. And you're
got it.
Starting to get there.
Got it.
And did you find that both the parties were like that, or one more than the other?
The parties have a much more of a get it. They're hot venues, so it's a lot more of a
dress down.
Get your harness on, get your best jock strap out, and let's go and have some fun. And at an event like that, you don't want to have too much leather to be uncovering to
less is
dance.
More. Do they have performances, or is it pretty much the crowd
performing? They do have performances at both the Black and Blue and Victory Party. There was some stage performances, but it's not the focus. No. The best performances aren't happening on stage.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And was there camaraderie at the party afterwards, or did you kind of go off your separate ways?
No. At the Victory Party, they actually had a floor or bar just for the contestants and some of our friends, and so that was a great way to sort of bond and debrief and sort of get to sort of see how everyone was. When you made the top 20, you got separated from the rest of the contestants. They sort of went back to the dressing rooms. We had our stuff moved into another dressing room, so you didn't actually get that chance to say goodbye too easily, and until we got on the bus at the very end. So it was.
Were there lots of tears?
There was tears. There was tantrums.
Tantrums.
There was throughout the week, when you put 59 guys into a pressure cooker situation where everyone is under stress,
yeah,
you're going to get all sorts of behaviours. And generally, it was pretty positive, but it is emotional, and the ceremony around it is carried on behind the scenes is designed to be emotional. You know, I've no shame in saying that, you know, I was in a room full of 59 other contestants, and every one of us was crying over a particular thing, which I won't go into, but it was, you know, it does again help that bonding and sort of cementing the friendships with the other contestants. So that's was really wonderful.
So this, as we were saying, this all went down in Chicago. Is there something about Chicago? Is Chicago the hub for leather in the States? Is there?
It's not. It is. IML is probably the big daddy of all leather events in the US, but the it's traditionally held in Chicago because it was started as a bar competition by the Gold Coast Bar by Chuck Renslow, who's still very much involved with it now. So there's so it's always been held in Chicago since then. There's also the Leather and Archive Museum in Chicago, and IML is now a fundraising event for that. But very excitingly, getting back, and whilst I was over there, there was a launch. I didn't learn about this until after the contest, of a new national Australian leather contest.
How exciting. Tell us more.
So it's the first time it's been done in many years. I can recall one quite some time ago that was done in Melbourne, but it's the first time that a truly national contest has been done. It's been organised and is produced by the IML alumni from Australia. So any of the guys that have competed at IML, there's actually a team of seven of us that are involved in it, are getting together to create a contest which runs the same format of IML. So it helps prepare a potential contestant for to go over to Chicago and put their best foot forward. It's open to any previous title holder or anyone that's sponsored by a bar business or organization. So there's many, you know, there's, I can think of a half dozen businesses and organizations in Melbourne that could sponsor a contestant. It's going to be held in Sydney between the 5th and 7th of August, which is due to some of the handling staff and some of the judges are coming from the US. So there's an event in the US in San Francisco, so they'll already be on the East Coast. So it's much, the thinking behind it is it's an easier hop for them to come to Australia. It also means that after that, they can then come down to Melbourne for our week of leather at the Laird and the Manhouse producing. So
is Melbourne putting on the parties then? And
Up in Sydney, it's not going to have a focus on the parties so much, like the bigger parties. It's going to be focused around the contest,
mm-hmm.
and the prize of that will be a sponsored position. And it's not only a leather contest; it's a boot blacking contest as well. So it's the Australian Leatherman and Boot Black competition.
Wow, that's exciting. So when is that all kicking off?
That'll be the 5th to 7th of August, and with the contestant meet and greet on the 5th, the judging held on the 6th, and the contest on the 6th, and then a victory party on the 7th.
So you're launching during a week of leather?
No, this is actually prior to a week of leather.
Right.
And then get back in Melbourne and a week of leather kicks off on the 8th.
Okay,
so it's going to be a I'm the current leather man, but I think running for IML once was certainly an experience that I want to keep dear to my heart, just the once, so I won't be going in it and being involved with it. It will disqualify me a bit from that. But in future, I'm sure there'll be other leather men that will put their hat in the ring.
And no doubt you'll be an amazing mentor for them.
That's the whole idea, is that there'll be a good pool of people to be able to coach an Australian representative over there for IML.
Absolutely.
As always, of course, the winner of the Laird Leatherman 2016 competition on the 11th?
Yes.
11th of August will be joining us here at Live on Hide and Seek a few days later.
Yes. Absolutely. So probably
a bit of a tradition, really.
No, anything like me, they didn't have a voice left by that stage
exactly.
After a full week.
Well, I'll be already in Europe, getting ready for Europe, Folsom. So I'll have to listen in somehow. That'll be all right.
Oh, just throw that in there.
Just throw that in there.
You can do a phone call in at the ungodly hour. Yeah, that'll be
maybe not.
Yeah.
So that's the big announcement. What are we calling it?
It's the Australian Leatherman Contest.
Australian Leatherman Contest. I was just thinking, Steve, that my very first program on Hide and Seek just over 5 years ago was the interviewing the contestants for the ANZ, Australian New Zealand competition back in 2011.
So it's been how long it's been since there's been a national contest. This one's a not-for-profit contest, and any funds raised will be going to support the winners at IML and then building the contest year on year.
So as we wrap up, you've got, as you said, a couple of months, I guess, almost six weeks or so,
mm-hmm.
before AWOL.
I step aside.
You step aside. What have you got planned for the next 6 weeks?
Okay, I will be judging the Rubberman competition coming up in the
7th or something of July.
next month, early next month.
Second weekend of July.
Yes, so I'll be judging that. I will also be judging the Laird Leatherman contest coming up for AWOL. And on the Tuesday, I'll be producing an event which will be a charity auction and probably a jock auction and
a jock auction
and a step aside roast for myself, so a step down event and jock auction, so I'll be able to formally say goodbye and relinquish my title and then get some personal time.
All information available at, of course, at the Laird Hotel website. Daddy Steve, congratulations on coming ninth at the International Mr. Leather Competition 2016.
It is the best in Australians done in 30 years.
Brilliant. Well done.
Quite
fantastic. Pleased. Very well done.
Thank you for teaching us all about leather. Thank you. I've learned a lot tonight.
Very good.
This was great.
That's good.
Thanks, Daddy Steve.
Hey, Ben, maybe you should compete this
perhaps,
year.
Perhaps.
We might be able to also get him to rubber. No doubt we'll chat to you soon, Daddy Steve. Big thank you. So that's about time of the program. It's been great having you with us. Coming up next, of course, is Black, White and Rainbow with Andy Kay. And all of our podcasts are available at joy.org.au/hideandseek.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Ben, first real program behind the mic. How do you think you've
gone? This has been fun. This is good, right?
We'll get you back next week.
Thank you. Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy.
I'll have
Andrew
a week
wants
off.
A week off.
Tim and Ben can take over next week.
Got no choice.
That's about it for us now. Andy Kay and the Black, White and Rainbow team coming up next. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.